Good afternoon, Steeler Nation. This is Rudy Rude Dog Reyes on the RudeDogShow.com. I love interviews. Everybody who's anybody who listens to this knows that I love interviews, but nothing hits home than a guy who's local to the Yinzers who are listening, as well as the ones who bleed purple out in Baltimore. You probably have no idea who I'm talking about, but you're going to know him right now. His name is James Williamson. Welcome, James. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Oh, man, I am doing fantastic. I really appreciate your time coming out to interview with me today. And let's kind of move backwards in time. Let's put on ye old time machine, shall we?
Okay.
We're gonna start at your high school.
All right. Well,
I grew up in a small school. It was very small. It wasn't in a big area. Didn't have any fancy, names to leave high school, and, first person to succeed and all those dynamics. But you went to Newtown High.
Yes.
You played predominantly on the offensive side of the ball, which a lot of players do, and they'll switch, which is what you did. You're running back for all 4 years.
Yeah.
You had quite a few, in fact, either three or four schools of 1AA interested: Towson, Old Dominion, Villanova, Rhode Island, West Virginia, and Buffalo, which are fantastic, fantastic schools. But you also had some D2 and D3 schools that were interested. What was it about? I mean, obviously we know, you could probably answer the question, but what was it about the 1AA and the 1A schools that just had these D2 and D3s trying to contact you to see what your level of interest was?
Well, being that young as a kid, you definitely, everybody want to go Division One. It just sound and say, oh, I went D1. It sounds good. It looks good and everything. So being that young, I was just saying I just want an opportunity to play Division One ball. And also, I had a chance to visit West Virginia, and it was pretty – it was a nice visit. I liked the school and everything. It was a nice experience and all. I had a chance to visit Villanova. And, of course, Towson's around the corner, so – Just saying that atmosphere and all, it was just good. But more so, how I overlooked those D2 and D3 schools was because I was just a young kid trying to go Division One, and it sounds good playing Division One ball.
It always does. But D2 guys, they get no respect. I hate to sound like Rodney Dangerfield, but they get no respect. And here comes D3 guys who even have less respect than the D2 guys. When you signed to West Virginia Wesley in college, you didn't sign up for running back role.
Nah.
You signed up as a wide receiver. How'd that happen?
Well, because, coming out of high school wasn't the biggest. But, I always had heart, and, I was physical and everything. But I just saw, maybe sticking on the offensive side, but go to a position where it's more so that I'll fit in. Because I was always thinking that I had a vision of a running back had to be like 215, 220, be that size. And I just didn't meet that size. Even though I had a big heart, I just saw that playing receiver, being like a slot back and everything, me and the coaches just felt though that was going to be the better position for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously they were thinking ahead. I mean, your career there wasn't very long. You made the switch to safety. And you're talking about heart, and you're talking about size, and it's not always about the size. It's not the fight in the dog. It's the dog in the fight.
Yeah.
And so you were the dog in the fight. You switched to safety after the first game, essentially, because you felt it was easier to adapt to. What was it about the role and the switching that just made it easier for you to not only grasp the defensive concept, but be able to be so good at it?
Well, I switched my redshirt freshman season, because my true freshman, that's when I was a receiver, and I was behind the All-American John Meadows at that school at the moment. But I just saw that switching to DB would have been better. I was looking ahead. Me being a receiver, me being a DB, which one would help me get to the next level? So as I was talking with the coaches and said I could play corner, and first they thought I was just joking around. So we got out there and they started seeing I could play DB, and then the safety position was just an opportunity. And after the first game, I did not start. I started kick return and on special teams, kickoff. But after that, it was no looking back. I had my first game as a freshman, as a redshirt freshman, and I remember I think I had like 8 solo tackles, and after that, it was no looking back.
And you didn't look back. In fact, you had transferred over. You left WVWC. What was the decision to leave based on when you went over to California University of PA?
Well, I left more because the first one I went to Wesleyan, it was they were 9-2 for like 2 years, and so I saw the program become a winning program. We had a coaching change. So once the coaching changed, and I just felt as though I want to continue playing for a winning program, and I just saw like program was rebuilding and everything, and I was basically getting to like within my last in my junior year, my senior year, and I just want to go somewhere where I can help win. Like, I'm a competitor. I like to compete, but I also like to win. So I just want to go somewhere where I could help and win and just better off my future. With more, because I saw the excellence and the tradition of CalU and what they do with the athletes like post college. So I just wanted to go there and just give it a shot.
Well, and you did. So you switched from playing at West Virginia Wesleyan, now coming into PA, and being a Baltimore guy. Did you let people know early on that you were a Baltimore fan, or did that just kind of
man,
did it find its way to the conversation? How'd that happen?
Man, I'm talking about it was just Steeler Nation everywhere. And so it was definitely like when we played each other, it was a good atmosphere, especially with my teammates. I had my Ravens gear on. They had the Steelers gear. So, I mean, I I'm a Baltimore guy, so I'm going to represent where I'm from. I'm going to represent my team. But it was good. It was all in fun, though. It was definitely what it should be. Yeah, it was definitely great. It was a great rivalry. They made the rivalry game sweet. I mean, every little play, a tackle, or like in anything, a turnover, we were just in each other's face. So
sounds like a lot of fun. Of course, not indicative of Steelers versus Ravens football games, whether you're playing at M&T or at Heinz Field. So definitely a lot to be considered there. So something happened, and there was an incident that occurred. It's well documented. It's already known. You were at the wrong place at the wrong time and were misidentified as being someone who was involved in the incident. And clearly, nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to be called out for something that they didn't do.
Right.
And that's how you were the victim. So essentially, you lost practically everything.
Yeah.
And I'm sure colleges were looking at you and saying, okay, well, this guy's good on the field, but he has character problems. Or does he? So how did that all unravel, and how were you able to finish out your career at CalU?
Well, didn't get a chance to finish my career there. My collegiate career, I just end up transferring again. But with dealing with that whole situation, it was definitely a tough time. I mean, it brought adversity, but it made me better. It made me a better person, more of a man. It's just like I feel as though when adversity hit, it shows like true character. I know I didn't give up. I kept in faith. I just knew like I love football. Like some people just play the game, everything, but I love football. It's something I've been doing since I was a kid. Something I've been doing since the 90s. So it was I couldn't see me give up at the point. And also I love my education. I was so close to getting my degree, so I saw is I can't stop right now. I gotta keep it pushing. I had a lot of people looking up to me, looking for me, graduating me, continuing to play football. So it was hard at a moment when I lost everything, but I just couldn't give up. I didn't give up at all. And it was hard, like, getting into other schools, but I was able to talk to a coach here at Wesley College, Coach Drass. He was able to give me a second opportunity, and just he was somebody that was willing to hear me out. A lot of people, I mean, they saw the film, everything, but it was still scared because of the story that was going on. But he was willing to hear me out, give me a second chance, and I'm grateful for that. And I just finished my career at Divisional III Wesley College in Dover, Delaware. So, and
So you're a D3 talent in a your D1 talent went down essentially to a D2, and now you're at a D3. Was there a level of competition difference? I mean, like I said, I've watched your film, I've looked at you on various plays. It was almost as if you were the only star on the line, which clearly is not true. There's a lot of great athletes who come out of D2 and D3 colleges. However, because you were D1, you decided to go D2. You just kind of offset the competition. What was it about playing at a D3 that you, I mean, was there a chip on your shoulder? Was there something that you had to prove to other people, or was it more for yourself?
Well, I felt like I had to prove something to myself. It wasn't more so I wasn't doing it for other people. I was doing it more for myself because like I said again, I love the game. Regardless of what the competition was, like just competition level. Yeah, it's D1, D2, D3, but you have athletes everywhere. I think the difference is just probably the depth of the roster or like the lineman difference. But man, you have talent everywhere. We got a lot of on our team. We got a lot of D1 talent on our team. So it was able to come and click as a family. And I was able just to get with the guys. But I felt I was doing this for myself. I didn't have to prove anything to anybody. I mean, it was definitely some people that stuck through my corner, like my family, my friends, and some coaches. But I didn't have to prove anything to anybody. I just had to prove it to myself because I love the game. I couldn't give up. Like with knowing me, I can't give up. I'm gonna keep fighting until I can't anymore. Even I'm told no is an answer. I'm gonna keep fighting until I know this not a fight anymore.
Well, you're definitely on to the next level. There's a lot of plays where I've seen you basically disrupt. So I'm going to have to dub you the disruptor for a lot of reasons. First reason is you can sniff out those plays. I know I had a previous conversation with another gentleman who was a sniffer, be able to sniff out plays. You are slightly faster than that. Okay, fine, sir. D1 out of D3. What is it about your physicality? And what do you attribute to your speed that you believe will get you to the next level and keep you there?
Well, no physical. I'm very. Some probably would say, probably look at me and won't think that I'm as big or anything. But I'm very physical. I'm very aggressive, and like I said, I love playing football. And I know what football takes, and I know the game. I'm a hard-nosed guy, and I have speed. Speed has always been something that I've been big on. So it's just like I'm very versatile. I could play anywhere, in the secondary, I believe. But it was just being having a sniff for the ball, like a nose for the ball, is just come with football and so playing the game so long and becoming a student of the game, watching film and everything. I watch film and I look to see what's the lineman doing, what's the if the quarterback giving anything away, the running back, and sometimes if the running back is away from me, most I'm just thinking 99% of the ball. If it's a run, it's coming towards my way. So it's just certain things that I put that go through my mind before the play happened that I can be able to react as fast as I can. And that just gave me, and that just came from studying film more. And I just think with like my attributes and my talent and my hard work just helped with that.
Well, you are now preparing for an NFL draft where it's a very heavy defensive class all the way around.
Yes.
I'm talking D1, D2, D3, NAIA at every level.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of talent. I've interviewed a lot of talent. But what I've noticed is that you're very steady. In other words, you let the play develop in some instances, especially in a nickel package, where you'll let the plays develop when everybody's clogged at the line. You seem to know where the carrier and or runner is.
All right.
And in a lot of instances, you'll even tackle the quarterback for loss. What do you attribute to your speed factor? And how do you believe that plays into what coaches look for, and which is a speed position at safety?
Well, my speed, what helped me with my speed with that, especially coming off the edge, is I can go from 0 to 100 real fast. Like I just react fast. It's come with the game. Is because if you vision it, and I think that helped me more with being also being an offensive player before, that I know what an offensive guy gonna do, or I know what an offense gonna do. Like I said, I also studied the film, so I'm thinking in my mind like, what would I do? It just happened so fast. It sounds like it's a lot of thinking. but it happens so fast while it's going to play on. But my speed helps a lot, because, I mean, my speed helps a lot, and me being physical is just that I'll be able to get there real quick and be able to disrupt plays. And I feel as though that's an upside I got compared to several guys.
Absolutely. And you played behind some pretty good defensive, you know, players. You had a lot of you had some good nose tackles, and it was just something about your play style and your play type. It's almost as if when you get done with the play, you're amplifying your line.
Oh yeah, it definitely. I mean, it had some great nose tackles with Brenton Bonds, Daniel Laguerre, and everybody on D line, Isaiah Ingram, Roger King. Like, my D line was amazing, and definitely, I mean, linebacker core was amazing, corner was amazing, other safeties. But the D line, they forced so much pressure, and then they're able, which like took out some of the blockers away from me and the other guys, and we were able to play faster. So definitely, I thank the D line, especially those two nose guards.
No doubt about it. I'm not going to ask you to pick what your favorite D line is, because clearly that would be unfair. But I will ask you this: if there was anything that you can change about your game and or enhance it, what would it be?
You say if I could change about my game or what?
If you can enhance.
Okay. Well, I would think for me to become, I won't always become a better football player and a better student of the game. I want my IQ to be as well. Like, I want to know more so of where things is going. And so I guess it'll be for me to be able to play faster, play smarter, and just be able to react well. And definitely, you can always work on ball skills, can always work on vision of play. Like, basically, I want to know where things going to go. I want to be a student of the game. I think that's, once I become a student of the game, would become a student of the game and upgrade to where I'm a teacher and I actually know it, I think that's what make my game go become a lot better.
There's always room for improvement.
Yes.
I'm always improving. Every single person I interview, every player I talk to, every time I do this, there's always something that I'm learning. And yes, we're always in a learning process. And where you're at right now is always going to be a learning process. You're learning something new.
Right.
When you get to the NFL level, when you get to that level, what do you believe you're going to do to ensure that you stay at that level?
Well, what I'm going to make sure I do is definitely, like I said, you got to stay in the playbook and you got to become better every day. I'm definitely take my weaknesses or where those feels though I'm weak at and turn them into strengths and something I can see that work, and just stay hungry every day. Just stay hungry and focus, because I can't lose focus at all, because once you lose focus, that's when you lose everything. So, I mean, definitely I think by me staying in the playbook, learning from veterans, learning from coaches, and just becoming coachable. Becoming coachable with everything is definitely going to help me, and I think that's going to be the key to staying in the NFL, staying anywhere professionally. With anything you do, you got to be able to learn, be able to know how to learn and how to be coachable.
So you believe you're coachable then?
Yes. I believe so.
Okay. So then leads me to my next question. If there was a comparison, or if you had been compared, or if you had been told by somebody who your play style actually is more closely related to, who would that be?
Well, I don't really do it so much, but, man, my friends have told me Earl Thomas with some Tyrann Mathieu, but, I mean, it sounds so great, but, like, when they definitely tell me that, I just think in my mind, like, they'd rather just joking with me or something, or like trying to boost my ego at all. But I mean, it's definitely, those are definitely great comparisons. And by them saying that, is like, those are a few of my favorite players. I also like other DBs such as Patrick Peterson, Cam Chancellor. But definitely when you think about Earl Thomas and Tyrann Mathieu, it's just like, it's a pleasure being compared to them guys, or guys even think that my game is similar to that. So definitely, right. Those two.
I completely agree with you. There's a lot of great physicality that I see in your play. It's either the snap off the line in the pass rush, or you're waiting back in the nickel. You have what it takes to get to the next level. I'd like to see you get there, much like anybody else who you've had the pleasure of coming in contact with. So, what off-season workouts have you been either a part of, something that you've done maybe out of your character that you believe will help not only have an NFL team look at you, but to pull you in and request a workout?
Well, I mean, off season, I'm always pushing another next level. I work out about 2, 3 times a day, different workouts. I have speed, conditioning, I have lifting. So, I mean, it's always working out and always doing things different. I do very intense workout. I don't go in it in the gym. It's just do the old basic lift. I do like what's gonna better me as a football player. What's gonna better me? I train as a football player, not somebody just going in and lifting in the gym. So, I mean, I think by me training, continue how I train and take it to the next level with the guys that I don't work with. I don't work with several different trainers, and having those trainers around with me definitely helped my game, such as Troy Jones, Michael Brandenburg, and just having those guys push me. Rod White, having those guys push me just help me. You know, once they know that I'm trying to reach that next level, I know they're gonna push me to the another notch.
It's always good to have those people around you to help not only push you to get you where you need to be,
Right.
but help get you where you want to be. And we don't always have those figures in our lives. So if there was one person that you could attest to helping you get to that next level, who would you think?
Well, out of football and everything, I like to thank my dad, because I mean, my dad really would help me get to the next level, because he pushed me to know that don't ever give up, no matter what it is. No, if you want something, you really love something, you got to work hard for it. So with that, that's just something that I learned, and I took it through football, through life, and everything that I do. So if adversity face. Like I never turned my back away. That was just something my dad just implemented in my head, and I never forgot that. So I like my
Well,
dad for sure.
absolutely. And hopefully nobody will forget you after this interview. And hopefully if there are any scouts listening to the interview right now, you can contact him. He is obviously available. If you can't locate the solid James Williamson, you can contact me at the Rude Dog Show at hotmail.com. I can put you in touch with his agent. And in that case, I thank you so much, James, for even coming on. I wish you the absolute best, and hopefully the scouts will contact you and be able to pull you in and say, we like what we see. We want to give you an opportunity, but you'll have to wait for draft day to make that opportunity a reality.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm definitely thankful for the opportunity to even get on this interview and reaching out to me. This is a blessing, and I just hope that I do get that call, because I don't know if once I get that call, I'm definitely going to work harder, and they're not going to regret it.
Well, I definitely haven't regretted it, and you're very welcome for the time, most certainly. I thank you so much, James. And if there's anything else I can do for you in the future, let me know, and maybe even a follow-up. How's that sound?
Okay, got you. I'm with it.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, scouts, GMs, and the like, this has been James Williamson on the Rude Dog Show, and Rudy Rude Dog Reyes on the RudeDogShow.com.